Welcome back to Horizons.
Father Francis Nolan, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you, David. Good morning.
You have an event on today, which is the blessing of pets in Churchill Parish.
That's right. So September, October has been the season of creation. So what we do there in Churchill is that we have the blessing of the pets and also the blessing of their families, if they wish. It's always a wonderful afternoon. So I will be blessing them from 12:30 until 3 p.m. When I began doing it, I brought all the pets together. That didn't work too well, I'm afraid.
Bit of a Noah's Ark situation with all the animals
exactly.
At once.
It's nice, you know. It's lovely to meet not just the pets, but also to meet the families. And a few families last year even asked me, you can also bless us as a family. So it's a nice opportunity to engage with people. Maybe sometimes people will share with you what's going on in the family and so on like that. So it's wonderful.
Seems like there's two great outside the church opportunities. Well, more than two, but there's the biodiversity events happening with Season of Creation where people are walking the parish grounds. There's the tea and coffees in the parish centre to get to know people. And now, blessing of pets, you're getting to know the pets of your parishioners.
Yeah, and people that come, you know, they have. I'm always amazed at the love they have for their pets. And of course, it's lovely to meet the children. And of course, it's a very Christian thing. Because, as we know, my namesake, St. Francis, was closely associated with animals. So his feast day is next week. So I always like to have it as close as possible to his feast day. And, of course, he had that beautiful affinity with the animals and with all creation as well. And, of course, they're God's creatures. They're the most defenseless of all. And they've been given to us to care for and protect. You know, God put us in charge of all these things, the creation, also the animals. And it's important, I think, that we do that. Because I was brought up myself with animals, you know, on a farm, so we'd always have that connection to them. As I say, they're God's gift to us. And it's amazing, too, the comfort they bring to people. Like, if you have somebody who comes living on their own, they will say, look, this is my greatest friend here. Gives me the greatest companionship and love, you know. Maybe an older person will bring their pet along and say that to you, you know.
Yeah, that's
excellent. I'm always amazed at that. You know, that some people can be lonely, you know, isolated, and, you know, they just have their pet.
Yeah, it's a great source of comfort. I remember speaking to you about the Blessing of Pets event you did last year, and it was a great success. And when I hear Blessing of Pets, what I really hear is Blessing of Dogs. But when you show me the pictures, it wasn't just dogs.
No, we would have goats, and we had a horse last year too, some rabbits and other little furry things, I'm not sure.
That's a fantastic
in cages, variety. Yeah. So, you know, I just meet them on the steps of the church. If it's wet, obviously, we will go into the porch, the front porch of the church, bring them in. And I suppose talking about the inside of the church, then it's also the festival, the harvest festival, the weekend in our parish. So on Sunday, we will always also have the harvest celebration that has been taking place in many parishes, the bringing forward of the gifts of the earth. That will be a representative of the farming and fishing community in particular out in my area.
Yeah, I saw that notice in the parish newsletters
yes,
as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's nice actually to do that. You know, it's a connection with people.
What time is that on at?
The Mass is at 11:30, followed in by the Blessing of the Pets.
Oh, perfect. So Harvest Festival right into Blessing of Pets.
Exactly.
Excellent. And I know from reading the parish newsletters that there's also Blessing of Pets happening today in the Castle Island Parish and the St. John's Parish.
That's right.
And if I'm missing any parishes, I'll get Gráinne to say them in the events newsletter in the show.
Okay.
Does anybody need to book, Father, or can they just rock
no
up
booking.
At any time?
No booking. No booking required. It's an open invite.
Okay, so you don't need to get Fluffy and Fido into your Google Calendar.
No.
Excellent. So if anybody wants to have a look on the Diocese of Kerry website, I'll put up some photos of Father Francis's Blessing of Pets from last year. You can have a look at all the wonderful animals. And do come along on the day with your pets if you want to get them blessed. Father Francis Nolan, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thanks, David.
This is See I Am Near, Says the Lord by Sharon Lyons.
The flowers fade, but the water. Grainne Quirk, and these are the upcoming events from around the diocese. This year is the 1,700th anniversary of the First Council of Nicaea. Today we join with Christian churches throughout Ireland to mark and remember Nicaea and the Nicene Creed which came from it. This Sunday is an opportunity for shared witness and reflection on the core beliefs that unite us in Christ. St. Mary's Parish Church Beaufort's Church Choir is back from this weekend. If you would like to join some evening, or just make an inquiry, please contact the Beaufort Parish team. Mass bookings for 2026 are now being taken at Our Lady and St. Brendan's Church. Please see the parish newsletter for details. Three Blessing of Pets events take place around the diocese today. In Churchill Church, Spa and Castle Island Church, both after 11:30 a.m. Mass, and in St. John's Tralee at 3 p.m. All are welcome. For the Feast of the Holy Rosary on Tuesday, Nacon Grotto will hold a rosary at 7 p.m. All are also invited to hold rosary in their own time on this special day. Father Mark Moriarty will host a biblical walk through the Mass at St. John's Parish Centre at 7:30 p.m, running for 5 weeks. All are welcome. Reconnecting with Services Day 2025 for older persons takes place on Thursday in the Listowel Arms from 10 a.m. This year's theme is falls prevention and personal safety. There will be guest speakers and information stands. The event is free, but booking is essential. Milford Care Centre and Annam Cara Bereavement Information Evening takes place on Thursday at 7 p.m. at Castle Troy Park Hotel, Dublin Road, Limerick. Open to bereaved parents only. For more details, see annamcara.ie. Tourine Cahill Community Centre is hosting a pop-up Gaeltacht every first Thursday of the month from 8 to 9 p.m. All standards of Irish are welcome. Cork University Maternity Hospital hosts its annual service of remembrance on Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Church, Western Road, Cork. All who have experienced pregnancy or infant loss are welcome to attend. The service will also be live-streamed. Pope Leo XIV has posted on X, "Let us pray together that the leaders of nations may be free from the temptation to use wealth against humanity, turning it into weapons that destroy peoples and monopolies that demean workers. Whoever serves God becomes free from wealth, but whoever serves wealth remains its slave. Whoever seeks justice transforms wealth into the common good. Whoever seeks domination transforms the common good into the prey of their own greed."
Thank you, Grainne. Next, bumblebee monitoring.
Jane O'Sullivan, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So, Jane, you're one of the main facilitators with the Sneem Tidy Towns.
Yes. Busy in Sneem, but great fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to be busy as a bee. On that, can you tell me about bumblebee monitoring?
We have Biodiversity Week in May, and one year, I think it was maybe 2015, we invited somebody from the National Biodiversity Centre to come down and give us a workshop on bumblebees. So that sort of opened my eyes in particular to the fact that there's not just one type of bumblebee, there's different types. So you start to know how to identify them. Some have, you look at the tail first, so some of them have a white tail, and then there's a couple of different versions of those. One with a ginger top, so that's called the common carder bee. So you start to identify the different types of bees, and then in the spring you see these lovely big bees flying around, and they're the queens that have newly emerged. And then as the summer progresses, queen goes back into into her nest and produces workers. So they're smaller and you'll see them around at the moment, the little worker bees. And then towards the end of the summer, she produces some males. So they come out and their job is just to mate with the queen. So that they're an annual species. They die off. The queen will die off at the end of the summer and then the new queen will hibernate. So, and then reemerge in spring. So the life cycle continues. But when they come out, obviously they're hungry and looking for food. So that's why the willow and dandelion are so important. So So the National Biodiversity Data Centre have this bumblebee monitoring scheme I've been doing for about 5 years now. So from May to October, I walk a set route once a month and count the number of different kinds of bumblebees on that route and submit that information to the National Biodiversity Data Centre. And then they have about 100 people now over the throughout the country doing these walks, and they compile the data and tell us the bad news about how poor bees are declining. So they've a good handle on the species that are in real trouble. Yeah, so we're just part of that citizen science endeavour.
Is this something that members of the public could sign up to do also?
Absolutely. And even if you didn't want to go that far, it's great to get involved in some sort of recording. So this summer during biodiversity, or in spring during Biodiversity Week, we did a fit count workshop. So a fit count is a flower insect timed count. So basically you just download an app on your phone and then you find a patch of the same flower, say buttercups or dandelions, and you measure out a 50 by 50 centimeter square and sit down and watch the flowers for 10 minutes. You set a little timer on the app. And if you see a bumblebee land on a flower, you click on, there's different insects, but it's not too in-depth. So you're identifying a bumblebee, a fly, a hoverfly, you know, so the app tells you really everything you do. And then it buzzes when you're 10 minutes up and you submit your data. And that's kind of helping, feeding back into the data. And it's a really nice one.
Yeah.
And an interesting, you know, it's kind of mindful in that you go out and sit for 10 minutes, you know, and just look at flowers.
That seems like a great activity for young families to do as well. And
yeah,
it's much less intensive than I thought it would be. Going out for a walk once a month, that you should be doing that anyway.
Well, the trick is to try and, because there's, you have to have certain, you know, you can't go out when it's pouring rain, which it is here a lot.
True.
So you need the temperature to be over 13 degrees. You want to have a nice sunny day, really. And that, they can be hard to come by some months. You have to do your best.
I guess going for a walk on a nice day does add several levels of difficulty for Ireland.
Yes. And then I suppose we're peering into bushes and people be looking at you. As we're going around with our notebooks, they think you're from the council or something. But
you could just shout at them, it's okay, I'm being biodiverse.
The database, or the National Biodiversity Data Centre, are great. Like this year I've done a few courses. They do lots of courses. You can do online courses, but the in-person courses are brilliant. I was at a moths workshop, I went to a dragonfly and damselfly workshop, and we had this bumblebee and butterfly recorders event up in the burn that they held last year as well, and we just spent the weekend in the burn with all the experts who know what everything is. And it's just wonderful because you're looking at all these plants and insects and somebody's able to tell you exactly what it is. So that's kind of our little reward for our monitoring, is that we get this lovely weekend up in the burn every year. So that's nice.
That sounds amazing. That sounds like a fantastic day out.
Yes, it's lovely. It really is. Yeah. And it's nice to meet like all the people involved in this. They're such lovely people. Found our tribe. I just wanted to say good morning to Kerry County Council, and particularly Eleanor Turner, the biodiversity officer, who support us, who support all the Tidy Town groups. It's great to have a biodiversity officer now in Kerry County Council, and we'd love to have some more. But to thank them for all their support with funding and help.
So if more people do want to get involved, Jane, where would you recommend they start?
They can just go on to the National Biodiversity Data Centre. There's a website, pollinators.ie. They could come along to Sneem and meet all the people here. We're always happy to talk to people and tell them how we're doing things here. There's lots of information, as I say, booklets and things that the printed copies are probably in some of the libraries. Once you find, a lot of the Tidy Towns groups are focusing on biodiversity now as well, so your local Tidy Towns should be able to help you. Hopefully they're not all still out spraying and cutting things down.
Yeah.
That we're gone in a better direction these days.
Well, we can only hope to improve as the future continues.
Yes, we need to. Quick.
Jane O'Sullivan, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thank you so much, David. Good to speak to you. Salam.
Salam.
After the break, the guest speaker in our upcoming webinar.